Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Patrick and get a free phone. Go to charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome to the Patrick Madrid Show. Thank you for listening. My number is 888-914-914. Let me start over again. And I've already had a little coffee. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We have lines open right now. The Oklahoma land rush is about to start. All the people trying to get on the air, and we'll get you on the air with your question or comment. Maybe you need a second opinion, or you have a question about something, or whatever it may be. I'm here for you. 888-914-9149. I want to run something by you. Tell me what you think about this. Gavin Newsom, governor of California. I'm surprised he survived that recall vote. I really am, may I say to you. Being a native Californian, I guess I have a stake in this, even though I can't vote in California. Nonetheless, that California governor, last Friday, he proposed giving Native American tribes $100 million so they can purchase and preserve their ancestral lands. Now, let me put my cards on the table, at least in this sense, right up front. I don't have a problem in any, you know, theoretical sense with making, as best we can, all of these years later, trying to make things right by way of restitution for the Native Americans who were terribly, terribly treated, and that's putting it lightly, by the U.S. government from before the time of the Civil War, but especially after the Civil War with the Indian Wars and pushing people off of their homes and moving them in some cases long distances and sticking them on reservations and not allowing them to leave and not allowing a whole bunch of things that other people in the United States took for granted by way of freedom. And again, not everybody had those freedoms. Black people, for example, were still struggling to get out of the shadow of slavery. So I don't mean to suggest that it was great for everyone else, but it wasn't great for the Native American people. And the more you study their stories and realize just the heinous things that were done, perpetrated against them, it really, to my mind at least, it seems like it's a necessary kind of thing. Even now, we weren't alive then. The people who are on the reservations now, the Native Americans, they weren't alive then. We're talking about ancestors and ancestral sins that were committed. But in any case, and of course, I know there's going to be somebody who will call and say, yeah, but what about all the white people who were killed by Indians who raided them and scalped them and killed their women and children, and say, okay, we have to factor all those things in. Okay, everything's factored in. Nonetheless, my view is that there is a need for restitution, if it's possible, and it isn't always possible. So let's fast forward now to Governor Newsom. He's proposing to give Native American tribes $100 million so they can purchase and preserve their ancestral lands. I'll just continue reading without comment. The proposal is part of his pledge to make sure nearly one-third of California's land and coastal waters are preserved by 2030. But rather than have the government do all of that, Newsom said tribal leaders should have a say in what land gets preserved. We know that California Native peoples have always had an interdependent relation with land, waters, and everything that makes up the state of California, Newsom said. Unfortunately, we also know that the state has had a role in violently disrupting those relations. The money is one piece of Newsom's $286.4 billion proposal. By the way, I guess I can't help myself. Keep in mind, and this is for the younger people, all you older people, you already know this, but for the younger people who may not, he's proposing a lot of money. You know, but when you think about it, $100 million is just a drop in the bucket when compared to this total budget that he's proposing of $286.4 billion. And that means that if you had let's say that you had a $1 million bill, I don't think they make those, but they don't make those, but let's say you had a $1 million bill. To have $1 billion, you would need 1,000 $1 million bills. Again, I know all the adults in the audience know this, but for the sake of the younger folk, imagine having a $1 million bill. First of all, I'll take one. Cyrus, would you take a $1 million bill if they were handing those out? Cyrus isn't sure. He's scratching his head. So let's assume that you would take a $1 million bill. And if you would need 1,000 of those in order to have $1 billion. Cyrus, just nod your head so I know you're still there. In order to have $286.4 billion, you could see how much money is involved. Now, the funding would not function like a traditional state grant program where the state decides who gets the money and how they spend it. Instead, California Natural Resources Secretary Wade Crowfoot said the administration is committed to developing a structure or a process where tribes are deciding where these funds are going. And that, to my mind, is the key to this whole story, is that there is a there's an autonomy that's there for the Native American tribes. And I see that as a good thing, certainly. But the question that I have is, what about all the other people for whom this kind of thing would also be, at least in theory, depending upon how it was done, would be appropriate? Imagine yourself not as a member of a tribe, a member of a Native American tribe, but imagine yourself, let's say, as a poor inner city black person. How would you feel? And maybe you are a poor inner city black person. But put yourself in that situation. How would you feel if the government of your state doled out $100 million to one group of people so that they can rise beyond, go further, have more autonomy, more success, etc., than they currently have? And they did that for that group of people because the way they had been mistreated in the past. How would you feel about your plight and the people that you come from? So I'm curious to know what you think about this. Do you think this is a wise policy? Now, again, not being a citizen of the state of California anymore, I live in Ohio now, but it's my native state, and I love California, and I care about what happens there, and I have people there. So for me, it's not merely just a news headline. I'm interested in knowing what you think about this issue. Do you think that this is fair? I guess that's the best way to put it. Is it fair that one ethnic group of people gets $100 million to do thus and so? And to use my scenario, what if you are, and you don't have to be a poor inner city black, what if you're like a wealthy black or a black man or woman who is middle class? You could spin it out however you wish. But your ancestors, like the ancestors of modern Native Americans, also suffered at the hands of the American government. So if the government can give one group a big budget of money to do with as they please, is it right and fair that other groups, such as African Americans, don't get that same thing? So Cyrus, what are your thoughts on this? I'll start with you first of all. You're my focus group, my control group, before we throw open the phone calls. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you're right. Once you start giving money to one group, where does it stop? And so, sure. The economy's fake anyway. So let's just give free money to everybody.
So what you're saying is it doesn't really matter how many zeros. It's not real. It's not real money. It's paper money. Mm-hmm. Have you ever held $1 million bill in your hand, Cyrus?
No, I have not. You wouldn't let me.
In your trembling
you
hands?
You sit there and you just flaunted. You flaunted it and you wouldn't let me.
Oh, I could just see your trembling hand. And the $1 million bill would be fluttering like a leaf.
Yeah, I reached for it and you just went, psych!
And pulled it back at
the
last
second. Pulled it back quick. That's right.
Now, can you imagine having 1,000 million-dollar bills, which would equal $1 billion? That's an even more trembling scenario, isn't it?
Can we start at 1,000 one-dollar bills?
Yeah,
I have a hard time.
Do I hear 1,000 one-dollar bills? Yeah. Okay. So let me just hit you with my scenario. So let's say that you are African American, and your family has been here forever. And some of them, if you go back far enough, were enslaved. And those who, after slavery, had been emancipated, had to suffer for generations under Jim Crow laws and unfair restrictions of many types in this country. And you were deemed to be a second-class citizen as a result of your skin color, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these things being the case, now that necessarily didn't happen to you or to your parents or maybe not even to your grandparents, but it did happen to your ancestors. And in the case of the Native American folk, and keep in mind that I did advert to the fact that historically the U.S. government in many ways seriously, heinously mistreated the Native Americans. Just terrible things were done to them. And although it didn't happen to this generation or their parents' generation or their parents' parents' generation, it happened to their ancestors. So you're reading the headline or you're listening to the Patrick Madrid Show this morning as an African American and you're hearing about this. What goes through your mind?
I would like to have some free money, sure.
I knew you'd still be thinking about the million-dollar bill.
It's hard to get past it.
You're daydreaming about it now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I honestly cannot imagine that. I don't have that history. I'm incapable of truly appreciating what someone that has that constantly in the back of their head would go through. I mean, it's really hard for me
to
put myself in their shoes. I am from a very, very poor family. And my mom didn't have a husband, so I didn't have a dad around. So she worked about 80 hours a week, and she worked for barely anything. So she made slave wages, and we lived in a tiny little trailer. And so should I have reparations for how she was taken advantage of? No. You learn from other. Hopefully, you can learn from other people's mistakes and grow from whatever past you came from. And if our past is the soil and we're growing from it, I don't know what I'm saying. Why do you ask me these questions?
For this very reason, just because. No, it is interesting to get people's different perspectives on it, and we do have people who are calling in to share theirs.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
Way more interesting than.
Yeah, I'm curious for this reason, and thank you, Cyrus. Thank you for your generous contribution to this to this conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm serious when I say there is an essential role for justice and restitution. How to go about it, that's sometimes anyone's guess, and it's difficult to know in a given situation what's the best way to go about it. But as a general principle, I do believe that we should seek to do right by people who have been wrong. That's part of the Catholic moral ethos is to engage in acts of restitution when it's appropriate and when it's effective. It's not always effective and it's not always appropriate, especially after long passages of time, for example. But in any case, my number is 888-914-9149. If you have an opinion, let me know. We could talk about other things too. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Albuquerque and talk to Dolly. Hello, Dolly.
Hi. Hello, Patrick.
Hi there.
I'm just calling in with a comment, okay?
Yeah.
And before anyone says anything, I'm part Native, okay? I don't seek benefits or anything, and I'm not registered with the tribe for a very simple reason. I was raised, as those slang term, as a street Indian, meaning off the reservation.
Okay. And what was the term you used again? I didn't quite catch that.
A street Indian. That's the street term you're not raised on. Street Indian when you're not raised on the reservation.
Okay. I've never heard that before. Okay.
Yeah, most non-natives haven't either. But I have lived where there were reservations. I live in the state of New Mexico. I love the state. I also grew up in New York City where there was a lot of immigrants. Anyway, as a Catholic and as simply another person in this population. When I was in New York City, I saw how public awards and grant monies and projects can be used as bribing votes. When I was a little girl in New York City, Mayor Lindsay made it his like life ambition to make low-income housing. Well, at the time, it was definitely needed, okay? He ended up being a mayor for like 12 or 16 years. This goes by memory as a child. So he was a professional politician, okay? And New York City mayors get paid exorbitant salaries because it's a World Trade Center. Okay, now, this guy, what I have learned...
Well, let me jump in, Dolly. We have a break coming in just a moment, so I don't want to miss the essence of your comment. That's the only reason I'm interrupting. So if you don't mind, in this scenario with Governor Newsom's announcement of $100 million going to the tribes, this is just in California, by the way. As a Native American, how do you feel about that? Good, bad, or indifferent? And also, if you put yourself in the shoes of, let's say, an African American, whose people also have a very terrible background, do you feel any sense of it's not good for everybody because it's only good for some? Or I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you have any thoughts along those lines?
Okay, what I feel about that is a sense of justice, a Christian justice, because I'm practicing Catholic, okay?
Right.
And I've seen how politicians use money as professional bribes to endorse their careers. So my sense of justice would be Newsom should have gone and referenced the census for the populations of natives and non-natives, applied that percentage, whatever percentage natives and non-natives are, to the grants and awarded the natives that grants according to the percentage and the rest according to that. Now, why is that justice? Because anyone with special interest group like trans or abused spouses or homeless children or runaways, you can look on the census data to the best of your ability or other polls, find out what population those people are, and award them whatever service grants according to that population. That is a sense of justice, I think. Or I should say, to the best of my ability, would be trying to reference objective data so there's something more other than your own personal opinions or your feelings regarding the matter. Now, why is this important to me as a native? Because for a long time, and it runs both ways, there are people who like each other and people who hate each other. It doesn't matter if you're native, black, white, red, or whatever. Because there is no one gender or one race or one country that possesses holiness for themselves.
Interesting. Very interesting insights, Dolly. I appreciate that. Thanks for taking the time. I look forward to talking to you again. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. My number is 888-914-9149. What do you think about this? I'll be right back. It's a gas.
Grab that cash cable. Hi, Patrick Madrid here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. In today's crazy world, finding companies that align with your Catholic values is a challenge. Your choice of cell phone provider matters. Cyrus and I switched to Charity Mobile, and you should too. Enjoy excellent coverage on America's most reliable network while supporting a pro-life, pro-family company. Use offer code PATRICK for a free phone. Don't miss out. Act now at charitymobile.com. Relevant Radio runs on horsepower. Your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep our stations running. Join in with hundreds of other listeners who have donated their used vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
Keeping it relevant. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149.
So here's my question to you. I was sharing a minute ago, Governor Newsom of California, he proposed giving Native American tribes in California $100 million so they can purchase and preserve their ancestral lands. Okay, that's great. I have no problem with that. Totally on board with doing that. His goal is to set aside for the purposes of preservation at least a third of the state of California. That's a lot of land. And so this money is intended to be used by the native peoples however they want, but with a special eye toward developing, the way he puts it in his statement, relations with land, waters, and everything that makes up the state of California. So I'm just simply asking this question. This is part of a $286.4 billion budget proposal. So the $100 million is a lot of money, let's face it, but it's a drop in the bucket by comparison to the total. So I'm just asking the question, is this, not that it, I'm not asking, is this a good idea? Because I'm not really interested so much in, is it a good idea, but is it fair? Is it fair? What about African Americans and others? What about all the Japanese Americans who were rounded up in the state of California and put in internment camps during World War II because they might be a threat? They might be Japanese collaborators. They might be saboteurs. I mean, all the things that were said about them, and they were just law-abiding American citizens, and men, women, and children were scooped up and put in these camps for a few years. What about them? I mean, do they deserve any reparations? Now, as far as I'm aware, I think there may even have been some that were given to them. So my question pivots on this issue of fairness. Is it fair to all the other groups who would have, let's say, a similarly aggrieved history and would say, well, if they can get this money, what about our community? Why don't we get this money? And I'm not sure if I know the answer to that question. I'm curious to know what you think. Let's go to Marie in Minneapolis. Good morning, Marie. What do you think about this?
Oh, good morning, Patrick. Thank you for having me on. No, I agree with you. I mean, the list could go on and on of what's fair. I mean, you talked about the Japanese. There were Asian Americans that were also a part of the slave trade that were down there in the South. What about the Puerto Rican people? Their whole Tejano population, native population, was, you know, annihilated. It goes on and on. Like you said, none of these people, the English, the French, the Spaniards that came over to this country, none of those people are around anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What about, though, let's say, and I'm casting my mind around trying to find an example of this, and I may not be successful. But don't we, you know, we give benefits and certain advantages to, let's say, children, certainly wives, dependents, children of those who fought in wars. Now, I'll just use this as an example. And we do so because we recognize that we owe a kind of debt of gratitude. And the person who did the fighting is gone. And so his dependents, his descendants, would benefit as a way, even though they didn't go and fight, they didn't take a bullet, but yet they represent the patrimony of the person who did go and fight and take a bullet. And so we reward them because of something they didn't do, but there's a certain fittingness about that, it seems to me. Now, I don't know, I don't have like an exact dollar amount or an exact example of that, but I can see where there is some benefit to helping lift people up because they were disadvantaged as a result of historic oppression against their people. And if ever there was a group that had this happen to them, certainly it was African Americans. Certainly it was Native Americans. No question about that in my view. So I'm just wondering more, should the governor maybe have said, how about this, $100 million for the Native Americans, we're going to set aside, I don't know, $100 million, throw a dart, for African-American businesses or African-Americans in general or something? Or is it just so impossible that if you can't do it for everybody, you shouldn't do it for one group or two groups? I mean, that seems to be the other option. What do you think about that?
I mean, yeah, it's a conundrum. I mean, aren't we, I think with Native Americans, don't they get tuition, like college tuition? I thought there was, like, if you can prove your ancestry that they have... certainly African Americans can, but can they, you know, as cultures start mixing, it's sort of a slippery slope.
I don't know what you mean. Mm-hmm. When you say cultures start mixing, you mean when people get assimilated into the wider culture and it's hard to tell what their background is?
My daughters are African American, but they're South African American. You know, if you can prove your blood, you know, they get their tuition paid for. I think so many cultures could probably say that, you know, but yes, the African Americans, yes, the Indians. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's true. It is a lot of money. And, you know, if there's money there to be spent on things like this and it's appropriate, I'm not opposed to it. But I think it should be fair. I think that's how this story struck me. It just seems like it's lopsided.
Lopsided.
Okay. Totally. Well, thank you. Sorry, Marie.
Thank you for doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And keep doing what you're doing. Keep listening to the Patrick Madrid Show. I sure appreciate it. Thank you. How about Edna now in Rochelle Park, New Jersey? Good morning, Edna.
Good morning, Patrick. Thank you for taking my call.
Patrick,
I really am 100% agree with the decision because, first of all, the land belongs to the Indians, to the, you know, they do belong, it belongs to them, the African Americans, the Chinese, the Koreans, the Japanese, everybody came after, but the land belongs to the Native American, you know? So the land belongs to them, the money belongs to them. And they.
Well, let me ask you a question, Edna. This is a fascinating topic, and I'm not trying to argue with you, but let's say that the Lenape tribe, which was that proliferated in the area where you live today, Rochelle Park, New Jersey, that was Lenape territory. What if the local Lenape tribal bureau office came to you and said, we own the land that your house is on and we want it? What would you do?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is that's not my. That's the government took the land. That the government has to pay for it. That's what they're doing now.
Okay, fair enough. And I'm not going to dispute that point. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just curious if you use that logic that the land
but
really belongs to them.
That's what I'm saying because then you're trying to get the money to people that they didn't that they're talking about. They're trying to give them few pennies for all the land. At least they're trying to use it to something good for the community, not for.
Oh yeah, and I agree with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with the idea of it. I'm not opposed to it at all. What I'm saying though is if we apply your logic, what if the Lenape Tribal Bureau comes to you and says, "Hey Edna, we really own the land that your neighborhood is on, and it belongs to us, so we want it back." What would you say to them?
That's what I'm saying. That's what they're doing. The government who sold the land, that's what they have to pay for it, not me, because I paid for some from to someone else.
So you're okay, so I think this is an important point. So the fact is, just because the land at one time did belong to the Lenape tribe, and it did, it now belongs to you. And it belongs
to the fact that
well, hang on.
They're giving them money because of the killing and all the things they did to them.
Yeah, I understand. But the fact is what I'm saying is that your land belongs to you now because why? Because you paid for it. You legally, lawfully paid for it. Now
correct.
It used to belong to the Lenapes.
Yeah.
Do you see where I'm going with this, Edna? In other words, I don't agree with the view that just because the land used to belong to a group of people, therefore now they have an unrestricted right to it, and you are sort of an interloper or a usurper because 200 or 300 years later you happen to own that piece of land that your home is on, but it used to be owned by, you know, they didn't have deeds of ownership in those days, but it was their land. But it's not their land now, I guess is what I'm saying. Then they don't own it in a strict sense.
I understand it's not now, but the way they lost it was killing and assassinating and doing like very bad things to them.
Right.
And also they use it as a slave. And also, like you're saying, with different nationality of people, they came from another place. They were now living in there. You know, that's my point.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad you had an opportunity to share that. It's certainly another aspect of this wider conversation.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Edna.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Good chatting with you. Thank you. Take care. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Andrea now, listening in Egg Harbor City, New Jersey. From one New Jersey town to another. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to point out that there's a completely different scenario when you're talking about giving funding to people within our country and people who are a sovereign nation. The Native Americans have are a sovereign nation on their reservations, and it's just the same thing as if we were to give aid to another country. And so I don't think it's fair to make the comparison of, well, you know, should we give reparation to, what about the black people? I mean, they are part of this country. And I know that there has been a great move to make reparations to them as well. We hear about that often in the news, but we rarely hear about reparations to the Native peoples. And I feel that whatever reparations can be made to them, the descendants of those who were robbed of their land, should be made.
Fair enough. And keep in mind, of course, that the reservation system, as it's existed for over 100 years now, well over 100 years, has subsidized a great many of those monthly expenses that the Native peoples don't have to pay for, not to mention education and other things. But I don't know, Andre, if I can go along with you on this issue that simply because, from a legal standpoint, they enjoy the status of a sovereign nation. And that, by the way, in some respects, I think results in a kind of legal fiction. It's on paper, but, you know, if there's a crime committed on a reservation that involves the FBI, the FBI is going to go in there and take care of things. But in any case, but that's beside the point. I don't know that I would agree that simply because they enjoy the status of being a sovereign nation, that in a sense of justice and fairness, obviates similar claims made by African Americans who, granted, they weren't pushed from lands that they owned, but they were enslaved to work lands that they didn't own. And they were killed and families separated and children and wives and husbands sold into slavery, never to see one another again. So I think if you compare the two, the heinousness of being enslaved and forced to work on land you didn't own is worse than being pushed off of land that you did own. And so,
well, I think they're both heinous. I think they're
right. But just real quick, from a standpoint of, you know, which is heinouser, the slavery side of things seems even worse. So if it's justice to give reparations, for lack of a better term, to the Native Americans, even though they have that status as sovereign peoples, why is it not, at least in justice, something similar when it comes to African Americans?
Because the Native people are getting them funding to buy back their own land. It's a different case in point. Of course, we should be making, and I believe that we are attempting to make reparations to black people.
But they're not buying back their own land. They're not buying back their own land. That's never been part of this. The governor of California is granting them money from this larger budget to do things at their own discretion, by the way. One of the stipulations is that they're free to do with this what they want. I presume that means they could build casinos or they could build restaurants or they could build anything they want with it. But the idea is because they have an association with these areas that they'll have this money to develop it as they wish. It's not that they're not buying that land back.
I thought you said they were buying back their. I thought you had said they were buying back burial land or sacred land or something.
No, that wasn't part of the story. He's just giving them this money to say, here's money that you can use as you wish to develop this land that is, you know, it's sacred to you. It's meaningful to you because your ancestors lived here long ago. But it's not intended for anything like, you know, developing cemeteries or anything like that. They're free to do with it what they wish, at least according to this article.
Okay, so it's to develop the land they already have.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
It seems to be that.
Well, it still seems
I'm just asking,
like
is it fair to do it for them but not for African Americans or some other group? Why is it okay for us to do it with one group? And I'm not opposed to it. That's the thing. I'm not opposed to them doing it at all. I'm just saying if we do it for one group, shouldn't we do it for other groups? That's all.
Well, you can. You have to start somewhere, and I think that the country has made efforts of late to make reparations to both groups, just in different ways.
What if it were a group of impoverished white people whose, you know, families have been for generations very, very poor, and the government said, well, we've got to start somewhere, so let's give $100 million to a bunch of white people to develop their trailer parks and their liquor stores or whatever they've got. Do you think that people like the Native Americans or African Americans might look at that funny and say, wait a minute?
Well, that's a different scenario.
It's something not quite
right
here.
We're not talking about making reparations to the group of impoverished white people for injustices done to their ancestors in the past. That's a whole different scenario.
Well, of course it is, but these are parallels, and the parallels can be valid. So tying it into what you just said, Andrea, I agree with you. If we're making reparations for past injustices, what about other groups that are not Native American? Why should they not also get a piece of this budget?
Well, I don't really know what other reparations have been made in the past to the African American people, but I do know there have been, and so I haven't heard very much about having reparations for Native Americans. In fact, we continue to mistreat the Native Americans as well, with trying to go in and take their possession of their land to put pipelines that they don't want, and they've made that perfectly clear by risking their lives in protest of that a few years back. One poor Native woman lost her eyesight as a result of being pounded with rubber bullets, you know, and doused with ice-cold water in freezing temperatures. This is what happened to these people just a few years ago.
If you're thinking about what happened up in Alaska with the pipeline coming down from Alaska, that was on federal lands. It wasn't on lands that were owned by the tribes. The tribes asserted a kind of connection to the land from their past, but it wasn't their land that the pipeline was on.
Well, Andrea, it was wanted to go through their land.
Yeah, that may be the case. That may be the case also. But the general course of the pipeline, as I understand it, was through federal lands. Andrea, thanks for the call. I really appreciate it. Hope you'll call me again. I've got to take a break, though. I'll be right back.
Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
Have a question? Give Patrick a call. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid on Relevant Radio.
I'm asking you what your opinion is about a fairness question. If you're just tuning in right now, just real quick, it's a simple story, not a big deal, but it might be a big deal. Governor Newsom of California is proposing to give $100 million to the Native American tribes in the state of California to do with as they wish, to develop whatever they want to do with it. And I'm just asking the question of, is it fair to not do something similar to other groups that have a painful history that involved injustice perpetrated against that group of people? And I brought up the example of African Americans. I mean, it doesn't take much brain power to think about things like slavery and Jim Crow laws, etc. So there's a separate scenario, separate situation, separate history, but similar enough, I argue, that it raises a question of fairness. Is it fair? Some people might say, well, is it fair to give money to the Native American tribes in the first place? Is that fair? What about all the other people, you know, who are not Native Americans? Is it fair to do that? And if so, how long do we keep doing that? Do we just do it forever? Do we give these emoluments to Native Americans for the next 1,000 years? Is that fair? I'm not entering into that aspect of the discussion, except to say that it struck me when I read this article, and Cyrus will post it for you so you can read it for yourself. But it struck me as I was trying to put myself in the situation of somebody who is in one of these other groups. So trying to imagine what must it be like if you're African American and your history involves enslavement and all the other terrible things that went with slavery. And you're feeling like, I mean, I would imagine myself feeling like, well, why does this group of people get $100 million for the things that were bad that happened to them? Why doesn't my group get $100 million? I think that's a natural human reaction to the question. I found myself asking the question. So even though I don't have that kind of a background, so it's not for me to say one way or the other, I'm just asking the question. I'm curious to know what you think about that. How about Jonathan in Philadelphia? Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning, Patrick.
Hi.
Hi. So did they determine which group of Native Americans are getting this money?
I don't have that information given to me in the article, but I will make a presumption here. And that is that in the state of California, there are X number of tribal organizations that are registered and therefore officially recognized by the state. So I'm presuming that it's that population of X number of tribes that are legally recognized. If you were to just okay. pop up and say, oh, hey, by the way, I'm a member of a tribe and here's our name and address, they're not going to give you any money. You'd have to be legally recognized.
So I was wondering how they determine which tribes get this money, because certain tribes were known to be warrior tribes and took over other lands from other tribes. So if one tribe could prove that they lost land to another tribe, would they be more eligible? That's just another question of fairness. Who determines this? How do they determine this?
I don't know the answer to that question, and I don't claim to be able to peer into those details, but I would guess that that would be a moot point. And my guess, Jonathan, is they would just say we're considering all tribes equally, and we don't hey, differentiate between the warlike that, tribes and the tribes that were not warlike.
Gotcha. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, thank you for participating in this groupthink experiment. Let's go now to where are we going? Jose in Chicago. Hi, Jose.
Happy Taco Tuesday. Thanks for taking my call.
Indeed, you got it.
It seems so arbitrary, and it's such a political move for Newsom to do that. It's not his money. It's the taxpayers' money. The function of government isn't to play favorites. If there's one thing that we've all learned is that since Cain and Abel, it's that people have become very astute at being intolerably cruel to each other. So, like, what you do for one, you have to do for the other. Like, if you have children, I'm not going to buy my son all these things. I'm not doing it for my daughter. So you opened up a Pandora's box of these kinds of things. And like the last caller said, that's what makes us all totally human, is that we're intolerably cruel to each other. The native peoples, quote unquote native peoples that they themselves at some point came into the lands here, have been taking each other slaves, warring with each other from the French Indian War, the Apaches in Mexico and Arizona. You know, we're all at fault. You know, rows of Indians, Native people.
It's a human problem.
Slaughtered, and it is a human problem, yeah. And, like, I don't think the campesinos at Newsom's Vineyard, I'm sure they were considered essential workers when all these people stayed home. You know what I mean? So it's one of those things where it's a political gambit. And the best thing that politicians can do is not spend other people's money and create a robust economy, because when people are free financially, everyone wants the same thing. They want their kids to go to good schools. Everyone wants a good job, a car that works. And gas, it isn't $6 or whatever it is in California, a gallon.
It's over $7 now in California.
Oh, man, yeah.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. Yeah. I'm laughing because what else are you going to do? Laugh or cry.
Right. And that's the function of government, is to keep us free, to mind our borders and protect our culture and to help the arts and help people flourish.
If only it worked that way, Jose. It doesn't, maybe some places, but generally, and this is my view of California, that's not their agenda. Their agenda is power and the consolidation of power and the amassing of more power. And so my the cynicism in me looks at this move on the part of Governor Newsom, and I can't help but think, you know, talk about a re-election bid, a way of greasing the skids. And politicians are known for doing this, of course. This is nothing new, but yeah.
No, I thank you for this awesome topic. You always have great topics. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jose. Thanks for participating. I appreciate that. Let's go now to Paul, who's listening in Greenville, Maine. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Patrick. Happy Taco Tuesday. And I
happy Taco Tuesday.
One of my points was going to be what Jose just said, which is the money comes from the citizens, and so it's not his right to take that money and then determine that. So when people say, well, what about me? Well, I want the money. They're the ones who are actually given the money. So they're taking it out of their own pockets, but they don't realize it, which shows the mentality of most people. They don't understand where the government gets its money. The second point I wanted to make was it's not fair, and there is no fairness most of the time in the world. We're supposed to try to find justice, and as Catholics do that. But this is he's doing it just to get favor and to continue the mantra of victimatology, which is I'm a victim, I'm a victim, I'm a victim. And the bottom line is you're not a victim if you live in the United States, because you can overcome that mentality. We all know people, we've done studies on the lottery when people win it, and within like 5 years, 85% of people have lost everything they won because they don't understand how to manage money, and they've never been taught. And so there's still just as many opportunities, no matter what your victim status is in the world, especially in America, to overcome that. Like Cyrus said, his mother overcame it by taking the opportunity that God gave her and through the grace of God. And just like Jose said, the best way to help people is to grow a good economy, similar to what the last administration did. And guess what? There was no racial, there wasn't that much fighting. There wasn't that much, because people were earning it. They were proud of what they were doing. They were making more money. Prices of gas were down. They were building additions on the house, et cetera. And that's still what America is all about. So stop being a victim. And, you know, you might have every example you give me of someone who's a victim, I can give you 10 that overcame that same thing.
I'm thinking of to your point, Paul, I'm thinking about the boat people who came over from Vietnam after the fall of Saigon. Yep. And one of the most amazing things about that exodus, or the influx, I should say, of Vietnamese into the United States was the way in which they hunkered down. They worked, and I know this not only from people I knew personally, but also anecdotally from my travels, just traveling around the country for the last 35 years and meeting with people all over the place. They hunkered down. They worked menial jobs. They lived in like 3-4 families in a house kind of thing. And eventually they seemed to sort of rise above in a way that was unique. And I don't know how to account for it other than their sweat equity. But that to me was very, I don't know, very encouraging or very inspiring even, because it showed that you can come here literally off the boat, literally with nothing but the cheap sandals on your feet and the shirt on your back, and then you can you can rise to any height with enough hard work. I found that very, very inspiring, quite frankly. If it can be done for one group, I'll just say this: if it can be done for one group, or if one group can do it, any group can do it. It seems to me.
Correct. We've seen the same thing with, you know, you take a Chinese descendant who comes to New York, owns, you know, Lee's laundry company, builds it, works hard, lives above it, you know, pays everyone, and then gets successful, opens a second one, a third one, a fourth one. And it's because the opportunities abound in America. That's why everyone's trying to get here. The biggest problem we have is of people, generations that are being raised on that the government pays for everything. If a government takes their money from you first, it can't give you something it doesn't take from you first. And people young people don't understand that. They don't understand where does the money come from. And we're just, you know, just print more. That's not how it works. And there's every opportunity.
So if I can bottom line it, I got to go, but let me give me the cash value here. Would you say that we should not be giving any monies like this to any particular group? Would that be your policy?
Correct.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'd say go. If there's opportunity, go get it.
If you run for governor, Paul, let me know, okay? 888-914-9149. This is the Patrick Madrid Show. I'll be right back.